Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. So more of these aid packages for Ukraine announced today. The F-16s are imminently going to arrive in Ukraine, those American Fighting Falcon planes, given by the Netherlands, Belgium, Norway, Denmark. All this is going on. The bit people aren't talking about so much is the need for soldiers. Of course, Ukraine's got its International Legion for the Territorial Defense of Ukraine, probably only about 3,000 strong. And worryingly for Putin, the fourth biggest nationality in that is Russians. But how about soldiers? That you can't manufacture soldiers. It's a limited supply of those. And looks like foreign troops are not being sent. Even France is not speaking anymore about dispatching its soldiers to Ukraine. Now, I know that numbers matter less than they used to because they've got drones and the technology, which is a force multiplier. But they still matter somewhat. So conscription is the real fly in the ointment. Now, there was a conscription act that was passed a few months ago, lowering the conscription age in Ukraine from 27 to 25. People would say, but most countries would be 18. You're an adult by then. And if you simply brought in the draft to 18, then you have over 2 million more men to choose from. Now, a few of them would have exemptions for medical reasons or whatever, but it would still net you an awful lot more soldiers. The other thing is some guys volunteered at the beginning of the war, and in 2.5 years, they've not had any leave, not been able to see their families, you know, wives and children, not to come near the front because the risk for them is too high. Obviously, women can volunteer for the army, but they seldom do. Only about 5% of the army are women, and they can serve in combat roles. Even in the International Legion, there's a Swedish politician, and she volunteered, a woman fighting in the front line for Ukraine. It's all very easy for me to say about the draft because it's not going to be my head on the block, and I wouldn't be keen to get killed or wounded or captured or suffer at all. But anyway, trying to be objective about it, but if Ukraine's going to sustain this war, it's just got to draft more people. And there are plenty of exemptions, medical ones, some of which are genuine, some of which are not. People have fled the country illegally or bribed border guards or whatever, or bribed to be misdiagnosed with conditions they don't actually suffer from. People have served in reserved occupations like Olympic athletes, but they're physiotherapists or whatever, or some diplomats or some politicians. The police, over 120,000, the police, somebody said that's way too high, considering the population of Ukraine's fallen by a quarter. Shouldn't the police force fall by a quarter? Most who commit crime are young men, but they're controlled by the army in many cases. So some of the police are in excellent physical condition. They could go forward. The border guards, but the border guards mostly guarding the border with Belarus, Slovakia, Hungary, Romania, Moldova, countries they're not fighting. So some of those could go and actually fight. But being the border guards are very valued because usually a safe area and you're simply catching people who are trying to cross the border illegally, precisely to evade conscription. So some guys have gone into hiding because they don't want to be conscripted. There was a wave of volunteers at first, an outburst of patriotism, but that has drained away over 2.5 years as the grim reality of war is set in. The casualties have mounted. There is no end in sight. How are they going to sustain this war effort? And the obvious thing, as I said, is to lower the conscription age. And guys up at the age of 60 are in the army, and often they're often not very physically fit. They're cracking under the strain. Can they please have some leave? It's unfair. They're not being replaced. Goodness, I have every sympathy with them. The government's worried if we give them leave, even a week, some of them will go into hiding or skip the country or something. And then we have to cancel leave. And the other guy who's due to have leave soon will be furious, will mutiny. I'm astonished they haven't. I couldn't take that strain, not for a single day, never mind 2.5 years. So what are they going to do? I mean, the training battalions sent hundreds of gunners to the front to train the newbies, and that's a relatively cushy number. And then you can go home each night to your wife and children or whatever, or your husband and children, and do that for a while, and then back to the front. So a taste of normality. Some people's spouse and children have gone abroad. I suppose they could come back for a little while. So there isn't an easy answer because Russia's got a much bigger reservoir of men to draw upon, and they're successfully recruiting people from Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan. Despite them facing prison, they go back. Some people have been duped, thinking they go to reconstruction jobs in occupied Ukraine, or actually pressed into the Russian army, or people from the Central African Republic, even Zambia, some of them, or Cuba. They volunteered knowingly or unknowingly. India, Nepal, tempted by high wages, or just tricked into thinking they're working in a different sector and actually fighting, just being used as cannon fodder. So it's very, very difficult for Ukraine to match that. They're less successful, have less money to offer to get people to go and fight. And obviously it's not frittering their way their men's lives as the Russians are. So, there's an exemption for a father of three or more children might have to be raised to four or more children, which also is to incentivize having more children. If people have got two children at the moment, the couple say, well, let's go for a third baby, and then he'll be exempt. And men abroad, I think it was Lithuania, said they will cooperate with trying to conscript Ukrainians in that country. Who've reached 27 or 25 is now, or even over that age, no exemption, just not going back. Well, I suppose I can't blame them wanting to stay out of the meat grinder. What do you think? What should Ukraine do? What can Ukraine do to keep the war effort going in terms of number of troops? How could they, can they husband them more carefully? Could they withdraw more from the front line? Because you don't need that many to hold the front line, or do you? I'm not a military man. Thank you for watching the channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.